Father, we pray now as we get into your word today and as we get into the book of Revelation, we know that in the last days, things are going to get really tough and they're going to get really tough against believers. And it's not just going to be the Pastor Youssefs that are going to be facing decisions to deny you and maybe even in many countries, death. Lord, there's going to be many of us that are going to be facing different situations as we enter into the last days, making a bold stand for you and realizing that the world is not going to like it. So I pray, God, that you would teach us. I pray you would pour out your spirit on your word today. You would instruct us, God. You would feed your flock. And Lord, we just thank you for your word and for the move of your spirit today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. As we continue on through the book of Revelation, we've made it all the way up to chapter 13. And we're going to take a couple of weeks here to get from 13 verses 1 through 10. I wanted to try to cover all of it in 1 week. But as I began to study it, I realized there's too much information here. We're just going to cover today the first four verses of chapter 13. Notice it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea." This is John having his vision. The beast having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to make war with him?" Now, if you've been with us through the book of Revelation, you've learned that all these symbols in the book of Revelation have literal meanings. Yes, you would talk about the beast. We talk about the dragon. Well, it's not a mystery to find out what they are. The Bible tells us who these characters are. If you go to the Old Testament, the Bible tells us who they are. We simply plug these in. And what we're seeing today is a picture that John in his vision is watching and seeing of this last day's world kingdom. The kingdom that the Bible says, remember back in Daniel's revelation that God gave to Daniel, back in Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and then Daniel interpreted the dream, God gave him a vision showing what the dream was. We had the statue that was made of the different metals, and we talked about how those metals represented 4 great kingdoms that would happen from that time all the way until the return of Christ. Later on in the book of Daniel, God gave Daniel, remember, the further vision of the animals, and he related those animals to this the kingdoms of the world as well. And so now we are actually looking back at that in history now, except for the last kingdom, but Daniel was looking forward. And all those kingdoms that God predicted through Daniel have all come to pass, all the way up through the Roman Empire, and now the revived Roman Empire in the last days. The Bible says God will once again allow this revived Roman Empire to raise up out of Europe. And that is the vision now that John is getting of this last day's kingdom that's going to be raising up out of Europe and again is going to be ruling the entire world and have this world leader that, again, we know of as the beast. You probably have heard the term the Antichrist. And this beast, this last world kingdom, is going to be taking the world over with him at the helm, so to speak, at the head of it. But what's interesting about this, before we get into these verses, because why we're going to slow down these next couple of weeks is I want to understand this instead of Christ a little bit more. Now, you said, "Mark, what do you mean instead of Christ? Isn't it the Antichrist?" Well, it is the Antichrist as far as what we know, this world leader in the last days. But what the word means literally is instead of. And that's exactly what Satan is going to try to do. Satan is going to try to bring someone on the world scene that will be instead of Jesus Christ. The world has our Savior. He died for us on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And as you know, any in this room who believes in him can have eternal life and enter the kingdom of God. And there's no other way to heaven except by him. However, Satan hates that. Satan doesn't want you to know that. And so Satan is a great imitator and a great mocker. And the Bible says, and we see very clearly in the book of Revelation, that what Satan is going to do in the last days is in this last day's kingdom is create what I'm going to call the unholy trinity. And you guys have heard me talk about the unholy trinity before. It's where Satan puts himself as the Father. He's always wanted to be God. Remember, he said, "I will be like God." And he wants to be God, and he can't be God, so he's going to try his best to try to imitate that. I mean, how do you get any better than God? You can only imitate what the perfect is, right? And since God is perfect, he's now going to try to imitate God and be in that position of God over the world, if you will. But he's also going to have a son. We call him the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, the one that's going to be taking the place, not a son in the sense of a literal son, but a spiritual son in this Antichrist. And he's even going to go so far, we're going to see here in a couple of weeks, he's going to have this false prophet that is going to operate in the position of the Holy Spirit. Remember the job. The Father's over all. Jesus Christ, the Son, all saving comes through him. The Holy Spirit's job is to point you to Jesus Christ. So some of you here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, what he's doing right now is he's saying, "Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Listen to that guy. Look to Jesus. I know he looks goofy, but ignore that. Listen to him. Listen to what he's saying in the Word. And he's going to point you to the cross, and he's going to point you to Jesus Christ. And before we're done, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask him into your heart and to give your life to the Lord. But the point is, that's the Holy Spirit's job. He's working around this room right now to bring you to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when the false prophet comes, he will point the eyes of the world to who? The Antichrist, the instead of Christ. So the instead of Christ will be on the earth saying, follow me, I'm the man, I'm the one, you don't need Christ anymore. The false prophet is going to be a religious figure who's going to be pointing eyes to this Antichrist as well, saying, he's right, he is the one, you do need to follow him. And so as we see this whole picture of the unholy Trinity, what we're going to really focus in on today is the second person of the unholy Trinity. And that is the Antichrist, or the instead of Christ. Now, again, as Christ is the Savior of the world, he's going to come as seemingly taking the Lord's place. The devious thing about this guy is he's going to have real power. You know, a lot of people see a lot of these psychics and a lot of these other demonic things that people get involved in, and they say, but there's real power. I mean, I noticed there's some new show on TV. I'm zipping around. You see something called Something About a Medium. There's some new medium show that's on TV. I hope you're not watching it. But anyway, the bottom line is a lot of people get involved in these psychics and mediums and all this stuff, and they're astounded because they say, there's real power there. Let me tell you something. There is real power there, but it's not God's power. It is demonic power, and it is satanic power, and it is used to deceive the simple and the untaught. And that is why we have to understand the Word of God enough to know where it's coming from and what's going on. Now, the problem is with this Antichrist, the Bible says he's going to have real power. As a matter of fact, we're going to see later on in Revelation, he's going to be able to call down lightning from heaven. Now, if a guy shows up on the scene, is able to call down lightning from heaven, how many of you are going to think he's a little bit different than the normal guy? Okay? I mean, that's, we're all going to say, whoa, there's something going on here. But we have to realize the power is very real, but the power is also very demonic. And it's only God's power that we're to come under and to follow. And of course, we have victory through God's power over Satan. But the world is going to believe this guy for a while until he's exposed as a fake. And he's going to do his best to take the place of the true Lord and the true Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's just jump into this and look a little bit about this guy. We're going to jump in this chapter and we're going to look in one other today. And next week, we're going to spend a little bit of time probably in Daniel because it tells us a lot more about this Antichrist or instead of Christ. But notice in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw the beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now, you remember in Scripture, horns represent strength. So we're going to see the strength of his kingdom. But notice here, he says, the first thing I saw as I stood on the sand of the sea, I saw this beast rising out of the sea. Now, sea is used in Scripture two different ways. It's either used as the literal sea, which we have seen before, and that gets a little hard to say, see the sea. You see what I mean, right? See? Anyway, the sea. I did it to make sure you're awake. Literal sea, but beyond the literal sea, it's also used as a sea of peoples. And that is mass amounts of people. And so, and how do we know the difference? When do we know that God is talking about the literal ocean? And when do we know that God is talking about literal picture of the oceans of peoples or the sea of peoples? The context. The context will always bear it out. And we know that the Antichrist and this last world kingdom is not going to come up out of the ocean. So what do we know he's doing? This is symbolic of the sea of peoples on the planet Earth. And what he's saying is this new kingdom, this Antichrist connected to this kingdom, is going to rise up out of this sea of people on the earth and is going to eventually take the world over. Now, it's interesting about this particular beast because in this particular vision, it's hard to separate the Antichrist from the actual kingdom, that last day's kingdom, because they're both linked together. And that's something that you'll notice that they're so closely linked. They're included together as a part of this Antichrist beast and this last day's kingdom. It's a part of their makeup to be linked together. So the beast itself is talking about this last day's kingdom that will be on the earth. But you're going to see that on this beast, one of these heads is going to be representative of the Antichrist. And these other heads are going to be representative of these other world leaders that are going to be with him during this time. Now, it's interesting to note here, the word for beast is not just beast. It means wild animal. And what a picture that is of what the Antichrist is going to be like, what this last day's world kingdom is going to be like. Guys, note this. The Bible says that he's going to make everybody take a mark on their hand or their forehead. That is those that miss the rapture of the church. If you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord is going to come back and get us before that happens. The trumpet will sound, we're out of here. And by the way, there's no other prophecy that needs to take place until that happens, which means it could happen this morning. And the question is, are you ready? I mean, what if the trumpet blast sounded right now? Would you be one of those that's going? as I said, you've got to have an opportunity before we're done to receive the Lord, but you might want to stop right now and just make sure. I mean, I'm the type, you know, I'm not going to take a chance and make sure that I'm in there. But the bottom line is the rapture can take place at any moment. And then when the rapture takes place, this whole scene that we're seeing is going to unfold very rapidly. This world leader is going to come on the scene. This new one world government is going to take over. And he's going to make everybody have a mark on their hand or their forehead. And you can't buy or sell without it, which means you can't be a part of society without it. That means you're going to die without it. Unless you know someone who has amazing stockpiles and this kind of thing. And of course, people are doing a lot of that today, but I don't know whether or not they're going to be your friend or whether or not that would even last 7 years. And I'm not suggesting that's something you should do, but the bottom line is you're in big trouble. And the Bible says those who don't receive the mark, not only will they not be able to buy or sell, that the Antichrist is going to put them to death. You know, when I mentioned Pastor Youssef right now facing, you know, execution in Iran because he won't convert to Islam, that's a small taste of what's coming. This is going to be a worldwide spirit of Antichrist, where the Bible says there'll be millions that'll be put to death who don't follow this man. And so you see why it says he's a wild animal. He's like a wild beast. I mean, even a wild animal that's tamed, you can't always trust, can you? And so this is going to be an untamed wild animal is the word that is used here. And notice it says the beast has seven heads. Possibly an allusion to the seven hills of Rome. And again, we do know the last kingdom is going to be the revived Roman Empire. Or possibly, again, the number seven showing the complete picture of what the last day's kingdom and the Antichrist will be like. Number seven in Scripture, as you remember, is the number of completeness. And so we see these seven heads in this complete kingdom that will take over the earth. Either way, for sure, it's giving us a picture of the earth's final kingdom before the Lord's return with the Antichrist taking the helm there. But notice also he has 10 horns. Now we talked about this in Scripture. Horns in Scripture represent strength. And the picture that Daniel gives of this last day's kingdom and the picture that Revelation gives of this last day's kingdom is a powerful kingdom. It's going to be a strong kingdom, not only a wild kingdom, a wild animal, so to speak. But, you know, Daniel sees it in this vision as this beast, you know, that's chomping everything and destroying everything. And he asks the angel, what is this? And he goes, this is that kingdom at the very end that's going to not only trample the earth, it's going to destroy the residue. So this is going to be a wild animal with a lot of strength, the 10 horns representing the probably 10 regions that the earth will be broken up into. We've talked about how that's already been done at the UN. There'll be these 10 leaders ruling over that, and they're going to have ultimate strength and authority over the earth. You know, I used to think, man, how in the world could somebody not be able to hide? You look at our world today, man, they can't find me. I mean, even if things got weird, some people could get away. But look at modern technology. I mean, how do you get away? Everything is almost being tracked these days. If it's not by GPS, there's a drone flying overhead that can see everything you're doing. And by the way, the U.S. government is now talking about flying drones over the U.S. Why? Because they're worried about terrorism. Now, I know it all comes in under the guise of something good, but the bottom line is we're living more and more in a society, guys, where what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to do anything that's not watched. I don't know if you realize this or not. Some of your hearts are going to drop when I tell you this. Some of you are just going to be surprised. But even the stations you watch on TV are now monitored. Did you know that? If someone wanted to go pull the records and find out what you've been watching for the last month, they could do that. Because it's all logged. If somebody wants to know who you called, they can do that. If somebody wants to know where you've been online, they can do that. This is the day and age we live in. We have the technology, and the Antichrist is going to use it to his advantage, and he's going to control the entire world through the midst of it. Notice there also in that verse, it says, not only 10 horns, there were 10 crowns. Again, that shows the authority these 10 world leaders will have over the world when this kingdom comes on the scene. But lastly, notice it says, on the heads, there was a blasphemous name. The word blasphemous here means insulting or mocking. They're going to be insulting and mocking God. This last kingdom is going to make fun of God. Oh, don't tell me you believe the Bible. Don't tell me you believe in Jesus Christ. Don't tell me. It's going to get really ugly. And so there's a whole picture of here of this blasphemy and this mockery of God. And again, when we get more into the Antichrist, especially in Daniel next week, it's going to talk about the fact that he's very pompous. He's very arrogant. He has a mouth speaking arrogant words, not only against the believers on the earth, but God in heaven. He's going to be again at some point declaring himself to be God. The Bible says he will actually stand in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and he's going to say, I am God. Now, some of you might be saying, how in the world can anybody claim they're God? You're going to see in just a minute why I believe that much of the world is going to believe that he's God. And so we see now this kingdom. We see the 10 regions with the 10 rulers. We see the earth being taken over here in John's vision. And notice verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. Again, notice this. First of all, when it speaks of this beast in Daniel's vision, remember, it was not only the vision of the statue that showed the kingdoms. It was the vision of the wild animals. that he showed the kingdom. And all these that he's using right here are the same images from Daniel's vision. Remember the lion. Babylon represented the lion. The Medo-Persian Empire, again, was the bear. The Greek Empire was the leopard because of how quickly, you know, he took over the world and all this. And the reason the last one is not mentioned here is because it is the last one. It's the actual last beast that is this destroying beast that will take over the world. And so the thing to note here is that in this last kingdom, as we watch this unfold, and here's why I want you guys to be aware, because it's happening right now. Listen, if you watch the news and you watch the world around you, this kingdom is forming before our very eyes. You'd have to be blind not to see it. And what God is saying through John in this vision, in this last day's kingdom, the kingdom that will be in place when Jesus Christ returns in the second coming, there's going to be a little bit of every bit of the major kingdoms from the past involved. There'll be a little bit of Babylon, the lion. There'll be a little bit of the Medo-Persian Empire. There'll be a little bit of the Greek Empire. There'll be a little bit of the Roman Empire. And how many of us today don't see that? Now, to see really the Babylon or the Medo-Persian Empire, that would take a whole other study to show all the ways we still line up with some of those things. But guys, the Babylonian Empire and the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, and yes, the Medo-Persian Empire, much of what we do today came from them. How many of you guys realize that many of the holidays we celebrate came from Babylon? They came from Rome. Ishtar, the worship of Ishtar, we now call it Easter. That came out of Babylon. Christmas used to be called Saturnalia. And that was, again, a Greek and a Roman holiday. The point is simply this. I'm not bringing those up for any reason, simply to say much of what we do today is based on these other kingdoms. Even our weekdays. How many of you knew that each day of the week was named after a god from the Roman Empire? See, a lot of people don't know these things, but the bottom line is we have inside of our very culture, in the very core of our culture, we have these kingdoms that are there. And so what John is seeing is these kingdoms are all going to be a part of this final kingdom, and they're all going to be wrapped up. And when the Lord comes back, he's going to destroy every one of those kingdoms at one time. Isn't that great? Every single one of those kingdoms, all the way from the back until the very end, they're all going to be destroyed. And then Jesus Christ is going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, his throne, rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And we're going to live with him forever, those of us who know him. And that's exciting. Now, again, it also reveals that this kingdom and the Antichrist are going to come on the scene and take over powerfully and rapidly. He's going to have the speed of a leopard, the power and fierceness of a bear, the loud and strong voice of a mouth like a lion. And the Bible says, as I said back in Daniel, he's going to be speaking very prideful and boastful words. Here's what the Bible says. He'll be a great orator. And throughout history, Satan has chosen those men who are great orators to be used for his kingdom. Even as God chooses those that can speak well for his kingdom, Satan watches those who hate God and who can speak well, and he empowers them for his kingdom as well. Look at Hitler. Hitler was a great speaker. If you've ever seen any of his speeches, now it was insane. And the guy was demonically inspired and had an entire nation follow him blindly and try to wipe out an entire people group in the Jews. But when you watch, if you just watch the videos of Hitler, he looks like Billy Graham giving an evangelistic message. How many of you guys have seen it? When Billy Graham was young, man, he was like in your face. He was like this. He was everywhere. He's gotten older now, you know, and he's a lot softer in his approach. But he had fire to him. Hitler had fire. And the bottom line is they were both inspired, but by different spirits and by different powers. And notice it says the dragon will be the one who will give him his power, his throne, and his authority. We know in Scripture the dragon is revealed as Satan himself. So Satan is going to be empowering this last day's Antichrist, giving him the authority that he needs, giving him the power he needs to rule and reign. And you say, but wait a minute, Mark. You mean Satan can actually give people power to rule and reign? Yes. That's what the Bible teaches. Mark, where does the Bible teach that? Well, all over, but I'll pick one for you. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? And Satan came to him and he said, bow down to me and I'll what? I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You know, Jesus knows the truth. You can't lie to God. Everybody with me on that one? Jesus didn't rebuke him. He didn't say, you can't give me the kingdoms of the earth. Who do you think you are? Get behind me. He said, no, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I will not bow down to you. I will bow down to my God. In other words, your offer is true. You could really make the kingdoms follow me, but I'm going to do it the Father's way. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to spill my blood so I'm not the only one going to heaven, but everybody at Calvary Chapel Knoxville and every other believer can get to heaven as well. And so Satan was making that offer. Jesus denied it. It's interesting. Jesus said, there's going to be one coming after me. Him you will receive. And that's going to be this man we call the Antichrist or the instead of Christ. Satan is going to meet him. He's going to give him the same offer and say, bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And you know what he's going to say? You got a deal. I'll take it. And again, because of the desire for power and the desire for glory and the desire to rule the world, and there's probably people today that if Satan gave him that offer would take it. This man is going to take it. And so he says, you know what? I'll rule, I'll reign, we'll go for this thing. Satan gives him the power, and now we see the first and second person of the unholy Trinity working together. Satan is the Father, giving his power to the Son, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, that the world will follow in great marvel and amazement because of this power that the dragon gives him, that Satan gives to him. And notice there in verse 3 it says, "And I saw one of the heads as if..." Now I have that circle in my Bible. If you're an underliner or a circler, do that, because that's a huge thing. He says, "And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled, and they followed the beast." Now this verse is loaded. Notice the attention now shifts to one of the heads that's on this world kingdom here in picture, this beast in the last days, and it's speaking of the beast of the Antichrist, or the instead of Christ. And notice what it says about him. Now remember, I said that Satan was a mocker, that Satan is an imitator, that Satan was creating an unholy trinity, even as there's a holy trinity, as we focus on the second person of the unholy trinity. Notice this. It says he will be wounded as if it were a mortal wound. Now let me say, first of all, why would he want it to appear as a mortal wound? You see, Satan is now going to go so far as trying to mock the death and resurrection of Christ so that he can say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, there's not just one that has died and resurrected. Now there's two. And he stands alongside. You don't need Jesus Christ. Follow the instead of Christ. Follow the Antichrist. And the world is going to follow him along in that direction." That's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. And what's amazing about this, it will appear as though he's been truly dead and resurrected. But notice the words "as if" I had you underline or had you to note. And that is this: he's not really dead. That's why the words "as if" are so important. It is going to appear he's dead from what we see in the scripture, and it is going to appear that he's resurrected. But in reality, he was never dead at all. Now, how do we know this? Because Satan does not have the power over life and death. Satan has the power to imitate, but his power stops at a certain place. Only God has the power of life and death. And where do we see that in the Word of God? Remember back with Pharaoh and Moses. And Moses went to Pharaoh and God said, "Now do all these miracles, cast down the staff, do all these things, turn the water to blood." Moses was doing that, and all the false religious guys were doing it as well. The guys that were working from satanic power, they were imitating that, and there was real power in that. And Satan was using that to make the people think, "Well, they're not so great. Look, our men can do that as well." And then it came to the dust being turned into lice or whatever the insect was. We're not sure from the language, but something like that. Whatever it was, he gave life to these insects that were in the dust, and they began to be all over the Egyptians. And Pharaoh said, "You do it too." And they said, "Hey, Pharaoh, you know what? We're out of the game. Game over. We can do everything else. We can make the snake. We can do the blood. We can't do this because that's the finger of God." He said, "That's life. He's creating life. Only God can create life. We can't do that." So this is how we know that this Antichrist, or this instead of Christ, will not really die. But apparently he's going to appear as if he's dead so that Satan can use this to deceive the world in this fake resurrection and say, "Now, follow him." And this false prophet that comes along is going to be saying, "You see, I told you he was divine. I told you that he had supernatural powers above everyone else." And at the same time, they're going to see this guy seemingly resurrect. They're going to have the power, the Bible says, to call down lightning from heaven. Again, that power given to them by the demonic realm. And so the world is going to see this. They don't know the word of God. The church has been raptured. Nobody's going to be able to tell them. There'll be some being saved during that time. But the ones saved during that time, you think they're going to believe them? Some might. But the bottom line is they're going to follow them because they're going to see this. Now, we think about the Antichrist being put to death. What's it going to be? Or seemingly put to death. What's it going to be? The Bible doesn't tell us. But there may be a hint in the book of Zechariah. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 11. It's back to your left toward the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah, while you're turning there, I'll give you a little background. It's a prophetic book that Zechariah was writing about the last days. And God is talking about what's going to be happening in the future. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, in chapter 11, out of the blue, he begins to talk about this shepherd that he's going to raise up in the last days. He's going to raise this shepherd up that is a false shepherd. And again, remember, the Bible says that God will allow the Antichrist to raise up so that those who reject the true Christ, the Jesus Christ, will be deceived by that because they don't want the truth. So God is going to allow this to happen. But notice what it says, starting at verse 16, and this is where most scholars believe he's talking about the Antichrist. I'm not a scholar, but I tend to agree with them because of the context of Zechariah and the fact that God raises him up. And notice what it says: "For indeed, I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those who are broken, nor feed those who stand still. So he's going to be totally self-absorbed, only worrying about himself, not concerned with the nation of Israel, God's people at all. Note this, he will even devour them. But he will eat the flesh and the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. This picture of just devouring those that God loves, the flock of God. And notice this warning he says, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither and his right eye be totally blinded. Now, because of this, many believe that indeed this is talking about some type of assassination attempt on the Antichrist. And when the assassination attempt takes place, all these kingdoms will be in place, these 10 regions of the world, these 10 leaders. Suddenly this, as Daniel describes, this other little horn, this other thing of strength will suddenly rise up in the midst of those 10. We'll pluck 3 of them out. That's a whole other study in Daniel. But he will take his position in power. And now we see this dragon here with 3 of the heads missing and the 10 horns. And all of a sudden it says here that he's going to be taken out, as it appears to be, in some type of deadly wound that is going to be healed. And it looks like very possibly an assassination attempt. And because he's a world leader, many believe it will be. Now, the Bible doesn't say. Could it be a plane crash? Could it be an accident? Could it be a stroke? Could it be anything? We don't know for sure. But the bottom line is this guy is going to appear to die. And then suddenly he's going to appear to resurrect. And notice the result of it. It says the world will marvel. They'll marvel at this resurrection. And they will follow the beast, the false Christ. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. This is what Satan has always wanted now. The dragon being Satan in Scripture. They're going to worship the dragon who gives the authority to this beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? Notice, because of this false resurrection, they will not only worship the Antichrist, they'll unwittingly worship Satan behind it all. And again, Satan will have temporarily what he's always wanted, to be like God. The world turning to him and his false Christ rather than the world looking to God and the true Christ in Jesus. And he's going to have this following for a short amount of time, and it is a short-lived thing. But notice, because of this seeming miracle, the world's going to say, who is like this man and who can make war with him? In other words, number one, you dare not challenge him. And number two, this man is supernatural. This is no ordinary man. Now, guys, I've often wondered, you know, the Bible says that when the Jews make the deal with the Palestinians, they're in Israel, the Antichrist is going to broker that deal, the Bible tells us, in Daniel chapter 9. So there will finally be a deal made in Jerusalem, but it's not going to be till the Antichrist comes along. He's going to broker that deal, and he's going to allow the Jews to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount. And the Bible says the Jews will have sacrifices again for 3.5 years. The first 3.5 of the final 7, they'll do these sacrifices. But it says in the middle of those sacrifices, at the end of the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to rise up and stop them. He's actually going to enter into the temple and declare that he is God and demand that the world worship him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always thought, you know what? No matter how crazy the world gets, I can't imagine the world looking to a man and worshiping him as God other than Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you this, or ask you this. If the believers are gone, for the most part, if the Bible's been rejected and we're in that last phase right before Christ comes back, and there's some guy that comes on the scene who has these supernatural powers that he's getting from somewhere, and suddenly everyone thinks he dies and he resurrects, and he stands in the temple and declares that he's God, do you think he has a greater shot? Absolutely. And again, there are going to be some that are going to believe him, the Bible says, and there'll be some that don't believe him. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. At that point, the Jews are going to flee down to Petra, and God's going to supernaturally protect them down in Petra for that final 3.5 years. But much of the world is going to follow the beast and say, who is like him? This guy's like God. Now, guys, as we read some of this stuff today, some of you are sitting there going, oh, man, I brought a guest today. I thought he was just going to talk about Jesus, the cross, and all this. He's talking about dragons and beasts and people in the world being taken over. You know, it's like this was the wrong week we picked to come. No, this was the right week. Because God brought you here today. And God wanted you to hear this portion of Revelation 13 today. Because God wants you to not just think that the Bible's fantasy, but God wants you to know that what God wrote is true. And if you read the book of Revelation and watch your news tonight, you're going to find out you're lining up perfectly. Now, is there a guy in the world right now that's taking over? No. But guys, watch your news. Right now, the world is looking for a one world leader. They've already announced that. They're looking for someone. The UN is saying, we need one person that can rule the entire world and rule all this in. Why? We need somebody that can get the world economy. It's not just America's economy. It's overseas. We need somebody who can get the world economy together. We need somebody who's a great leader that can come up with all these ideas. We need somebody who can solve all of our problems. We need somebody who can bring world peace. We need somebody who can solve the climate problem, you know, as they would see it or whatever the case might be. We need a great orator who's going to stand up and be able to lead the world in this. And guys, I believe the world is going to be ready for this because in the past, the world has been looking for America to do this. And America has deflated so much, the world doesn't look to America to be the leader anymore. As a matter of fact, the world looks to America and says, what in the world's going on? And this is not picking on any group or anything. This is simply saying this is where we are in the last days. It's the state of our nation. It's the state of Europe. It's the state of other nations. But they're going to be looking for somebody who has all the answers and also somebody who has the power to back it up. May I introduce you to the instead of Christ or the one we call the Antichrist. He's going to have the answers. Man, this guy's going to be charismatic. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to have the answers. Listen, I just think of some of the things the Bible says he's going to do. They're ingenious. Guess what? You do away with cash. The Bible says there'll be a cashless society because of the mark of the beast. Now, again, if you're like me, you already live in a cashless society. But anyway, the bottom line is there's going to be a mark of the beast. Nobody will have money. Who's going to rob you? No reason to be robbed. There's no money to take. You're going to be able to go to the grocery store, buy your groceries, and scan your hand. Everything's going to be electronic. If you collapse in some type of accident, they're going to be able to scan your hand in an emergency room when you're unconscious and find out your medical history. And listen, this is all ingenious. It's ingenious. You could go down the list of how wonderful this is going to be in the eyes of the world, but it's insidious because the Bible says it's turning over the control of the world to Satan and to the Antichrist, and God is saying we're to have nothing to do with that. Now, as we finish today, here's my thing, all right? You thought, wow, I picked a great day to come. The pastor's talking about beasts and creatures and all this whatever. Listen, here's what God wants you to hear this morning. There's only one true Christ. There are many false Christs. There have been throughout history. And the Bible says that Satan is planning one last major scheme that's going to deceive the majority of the world. And they're going to believe that this guy is actually just as powerful as Jesus Christ. He's going to be a way, that one that you can turn to that will have all these powers and all the answers of the world without doing it that religion way and going to those crazy Christians or whatever. And he's going to make that offer and much of the world is going to receive that. So there is a false Christ. But guys, listen, as believers, who are we to be looking for? The Antichrist or the true Christ? We're to be looking for the true Christ. Now, some of you this morning, you're going, you know what? The world really is primed for this. This really is happening. I've never heard this stuff. And I don't realize God is convicting some of you right now in your heart that you need the true Christ. Because the Bible says that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. Have you noticed every religion has a Jesus? Every religion has a Jesus. The Mormons have a Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses have a Jesus. Islam has a Jesus. Krishna has a Jesus. Everybody has, unbelievers have a Jesus. Ask them. Ask an unbeliever. Do you believe in Jesus? I don't go to church anywhere. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. What's he like? Well, he probably wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, he probably, and they start creating God in their own image. You ever notice that? Rather than realizing God's created them in his image, they start creating God in theirs. Listen, here's the bottom line. The Bible says that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the true Christ, came from heaven, the true Son of God. Not an imposter, not a fake. The Bible says he came to the earth as a man. He took on human form, and the Bible says that he went to a cross, and he was nailed to that cross and spilled his blood so that everyone in this room could get into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that God desires that none perish. And guys, listen, some of you this morning are perishing. With a room this big, there's probably some people who have never made a commitment to Christ. Now, some of you have heard the gospel a billion times. You could get up here and give it right now. But some of you may be hearing it for the first time. Some of you listening by radio, hearing by the first time. Some of you listening by internet, maybe some hearing this recording later on, but whatever the case might be, God loves you. And he sent his son to die for you on the cross. And the Bible says that if you aren't saved from your sin has you condemned. God's not condemning you, your sin condemns you. But if you don't confess your sin and repent of it, the Bible says you can't go to the kingdom of God. So Jesus, this is why he came. He came to the earth as a man. He died on the cross. He spilled his blood. The Bible says he resurrected 3 days later. And now he's in heaven waiting for this whole thing to play out. And he's saying, come on, what are you waiting on? The kingdom is ready. The table is set. It belongs to you. I've done the work. You don't have to do anything but believe. Oh, don't I need to go to church every day? And don't I need to pray this much and read the word that much? Yes, you should read the word and pray. And yes, you should go to fellowship. But that's not what gets you in the kingdom. It's his death and resurrection on the cross. That's what gets you in the kingdom. Jesus Christ dying for you. Now, I want to give you that chance right now, guys. Listen, probably your heart's racing. If you're an unbeliever right now, should I do this? The enemy's working real hard. As I said, the power of Satan is real. Right now, I want you to deny that power. I want you to let God speak to your heart. I want the believers to begin to pray in this room right now. If there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Christ, and we're going to give you an opportunity to receive him right now. So let's bow our head. Let's do that. Father, your word tells us that Satan has an elaborate scheme for all of us. His desire is to drag us down to eternal separation from you, to drag us to hell forever. And yet your word tells us that you sent your son to die on the cross, and that everyone who believes in him would be saved, forgiven of their sins, and inherit the kingdom of God forever. And Lord, there are some here this morning, very possibly, or listening to this message most certainly, that don't know you. And right now your spirit is convicting them. Lord, they probably also hear the voice saying, don't do this. All your fun will be gone. You know, you're not ready for this. You need to wait a while. That's a lie of the enemy. And I want you to ignore that voice right now, because the enemy only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to give life and life more abundantly. And if you know right now that you need to be forgiven of your sin, and you don't know right now that you have that secure place in the kingdom of God, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And before we pray it, I want to say this. You've got to understand that Jesus died for you. He didn't just die for the sins of the world. That's true. But you have to make your personal decision about him. His sacrifice will do you no good unless you take it as a personal event. So when you pray this and you confess your sin to the Lord and ask him into your heart, let this come not from your lips, but from your heart. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know right now you're calling my name. Lord, I hear your spirit speaking to me. Lord, I believe that you died for me on the cross, the true Christ, and that you spilled your blood for me on that cross to take my sin away. And Lord, you said all I have to do is confess my sin and ask you to forgive me. So here I am. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe what you did on the cross. I believe that you resurrected the third day. I believe that you're alive right now in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I know now that you have forgiven my sins. And Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and ask you to be my Lord and ask you to be my Savior. And I give my life to you. Now, before we finish, I want to pray something else. Some of you this morning, and I don't always do this, it doesn't always pop in my heart, but some of you this morning are not where you need to be in Christ. And the Lord is calling you right now to get back where you need to be. It's time to recommit. It's time to make that prayer and to say, Lord, I've been out there. I'm coming home. If that's you, you're one of his kids, but you've been where you didn't need to be, and you know God's convicted you, that I want you to pray this as well. Pray with me. Lord, I know that I've fallen away. And I know that you love me. And I know, God, that you'll forgive me. And I ask you to forgive me of falling away. Forgive me of being involved in things I shouldn't be in. And Lord, this morning I come back to you. And I give my life to you, Lord, all over. I know I don't have to give my life to you again. I'm already yours, but I just turn myself back over because I've been living for me. And I thank you for what you've done for me, Lord. Lord, I pray for all of us now as we finish today. I pray, God, that you would, God, pour out your spirit on this place. This is your precious flock right here. You're looking at them. Some may be newly into the kingdom. Some may be just now coming back. After being gone, maybe a long time they've been gone, I don't know. Some, Lord, that are right where they need to be. There's all different groups, no doubt, represented this morning. But Father, I just pray that right now you'd pour out your spirit on your flock. For Satan is an evil shepherd, but you are a holy shepherd, and you're a good shepherd, and you love your flock. And I just pray right now you would fill your flock fresh with your Holy Spirit. You'd come upon them, God, and anoint them. We need your power in these last days, Lord. We need your vision. We need, God, your boldness to share the gospel and not to be ashamed of it. And so, Father, I pray you'd fill us. And I pray you'd fill this place. And I pray you'd let us leave here different than we came in, knowing that we've encountered the living God of heaven. And that now, God, we're going to take him into the world. So, Father, we thank you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.